have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Thank you, Lord. I can't help but lift my voice. When burdens were heavy, you raised me and gave me strength. I needed to go on. I can't help but praise your name. I can't help but lift my hands. Yeah, when I strayed away, you forgave me and saved me and gave me another chance. Chose to give up on me. Instead, you've always taken care of me. You've held me, you've kept me, you've loved me through good times and bad times. I'm sorry. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you
for all that you've done for me, Lord. Thank you for turning my melody into things. Ooh, I can't help but give you my all. I can't help but try my best, yes. I know I can lean on you, count on you. I can depend on you. With you I'm truly blessed. I can't help but love you right. And I can't help but try to do right by you. Lord, you call me your own and you made me belong, all in spite of the wrong. You should have just turned and walked away. You held me when I felt like giving up. When I slipped and fell down, you picked me up. You constantly show me you love me. You show you think of me. I praise you.
Sabbatical, if you want. Again, this is Monday. Happy Monday, February the 7th. We've been away for about, 3 weeks, 4 weeks for consecration. I am so glad to be back. There has been so many things that's been going on in the world, in our lives and stuff. So I am just glad to see everybody back. Okay, so we are here on the Jadasa live broadcast, streaming across social media and Blog Talk Relations Radio. I am working on listening to the camera. I am your host, Cynthia R. Bennett, here on the Jadasa Live podcast. We talk about issues dealing with abuse and the neglect in the community. Our platform is used to raise awareness, provide resources, and offer hope through educating, edifying, and encouraging. I want to thank you, our viewers and listeners, and ask if this podcast is helping and assist you and your family or your friends in any way, survivors and their children of domestic and sexual abuse and neglect. You can do this by going to our website at jadasa.org. Hit the donate button at the top, I believe it's the top left corner. You can also go to paypal.me and hit /jadasa.org, one word. Or you can cash app us at $JadasaSTL. Your donations are fully tax deductible. But before we get started, I have some announcements that I want to share with everybody. And I'm going to click on this screen here and add to my screen. We are going back to our Sister to Sis weekly support group session. We share, we talk about topics and stuff. And, you know, you will be surprised that what you're going through and when you share, it helps others. It helps other people. It empowers other people. What you went through wasn't just for you. It's to help somebody else because you survived it. You're stronger than what you think you are, or you're stronger than what we've been told that we were. We are stronger individuals, and so we want to use our voices to share and to encourage and uplift and bring together one another. It's just a talk. It can be sharing, laughing, crying, or whatever we want to do. This is a support group session. It's a closed session. Now, if you know anybody that wants to be a part of it, they can go to our 1-800-292-2145, or they can email us at info@jadasa.org. Before the session Friday, we won't do the session that week. We're not going to hold on to Zoom and just hoping or waiting if someone comes, because you may not come. So if you go through the process and we have your information before the meeting starts, we will have the Sister Sis group session. If not, we will go next week, okay? Our next slide, Jadasa 2022 Developer. It is upon us. The session starts Saturday morning, March the 5th, and it is for 8 Saturdays. If you have a young girl, your niece, your daughter, your friend, your neighbor, your cousins, or whatever, and somebody you know, that's between the ages of 10 and 19, we want them to be a part of this program because this is where we are teaching our young girls how to build their own app. Now, if you have, like, and you're into hair and you're braiding, you can create your own braiding app and send that off to people and your friends and stuff with your rates and all those things. I mean, it's really a cool app, but it also introduces you to the field of technology. We also talk about entrepreneurship, and we have sister group circles, and we are also going to be partnering with another organization where they're going to come in at 15 minutes at the end of the session and provide personal finances about saving, about allowances, about, you know, different things that we should learn early on, 20, when we get to college and every credit card they give us, we take it because we think it's free. No, there are some repercussions behind it. So let's get our girls now so they won't deal with some of the same mistakes that we, let me put myself out there, that I did when I went out to college. Yep, charge, until that bill came. So, you know, we are partnering with some other people that's willing to come on board. We have a new instructor, Twyla Baylor. She will be working with us starting spring of 2022 for the developers. So we're excited. Go to the website, register. We have people that have signed up. The spaces are limited. Because of COVID-19, we only have a limited number of space. So go out there and register your young girl from ages 10 to 19. Register them today. The spaces are limited, and they are filling up. This one is for young ladies ages 20 and up. I kept getting ladies saying, well, we want to learn how to do this. Why come you don't have this for the girls? Well, we are here. Now, this one is going to cost, we're going to invest in yourself. It is going to do Microsoft Office. You're going to learn all the basics of Microsoft Office, Word, Excel, and PowerPoint, just those three. And then the basic coding just to get your appetite wet, just to see if this is something that you will want to be interested in. This course is going to be one day. It's a 6 to 7 hour course. It's $60, but that includes your breakfast. That includes a catered lunch, plus your material that you get to take home, and the training. If you want to brush up on your Microsoft Office skills and you want to go out into the workforce, or you want to get one of these plethora of remote jobs that they work from home, you know, you can sit at your own house and you just need to brush up on your skills, this class is for you. We have a couple of people who have already signed up. Again, this class is limited as well because of size and because of COVID. But if you want to get one of them hundreds of jobs out there that's remote only, and you need to kind of brush up on some of your Microsoft Office skills, sign up for this class. This flyer, you're going to see it out tonight. You're going to see it on our website. You can go out there and sign up for this class. Again, you get the $60. You get your training. You get your material. You get your breakfast and your catered lunch. You cannot beat that, people. And it's February the 26th. That is the last Saturday of this month. Okay? So this will go out there on the website today after I have this session. Now, this is the last one I want to put out here, Jacob Beard. If you listen to my intro, anybody, let me know, put it in chat, did you like that new intro? My new intro with the pictures and the music, that is copyrighted music, that is for Cynthia Ben, that is for Jonathan. And I want to give kudos and thanks to Mr. Jacob Beard of Jacob Beard Media. If you need your wedding pictures, photography, you need video, intros, whatever, he is the guy. So I will be playing my intro, outro again at the end of this session. I want you to listen to it. It is the bomb. I'm excited about it. So announcements, and I just wanted to kind of put that out there. So for more information, you can also go to our website at jonathan.org to make sure. Janice, I'm going to play the intro again at the end so you can hear it. I love it. He hit it on the nail the first try. I didn't even have to bug him and say, can you do this? Can you do that? It was right on, spot on. So today, tonight, I wanted to talk about this. For you, those that you all that did not know, this is the fourth annual National Gun Violence Survivors Week. It is normally from February the 1st through the 7th. Today is the 7th, so this is the last day awareness of the National Gun Survivors Week. National Gun Survivors Week is an awareness of someone who themselves or family members, the hand of gun violence or domestic violence that involves a handgun. Within the last 2 years, the Metropolitan St. Louis experienced about 13 to 14 domestic violence homicides that I am aware of. It could be more, but from the reports I've gotten, 13 to 14 statewide, meaning Missouri, the statewide data shows that 21 people were killed by an intimate partner. 16 were killed by a family member, and over 4,000 aggravated domestic assaults occurred in the state of Missouri, according to Missouri State Highway Patrol data. That's a lot. That's cause for alarm. It's concerning. And so in 2020, during the pandemic, over 30,000 Missourians sought services for domestic violence, according to data collected by the Missouri Coalition Against Domestic and Sexual Violence from partners across the state. So all of the domestic violence agencies that was listed and housed in the state of Missouri, we send up these numbers, these reports when we deal with people and talk to people and have to deal with these crises and all this stuff. We report these numbers up. From the Missouri Coalition Against Domestic and Sexual Violence said, a gun is often used by abusers to control their victims, whether or not they fire the weapon. It's used to control them. They don't even have to pull the trigger, but to put that fear there, to put that into control you into fear, that's a part of that. Over 2,300 people nationwide in the United States In 2021, you all, just 12 months, 300 people nationwide died in domestic violence homicide, according to the Gun Violence Archive. Anybody that dies through gun violence or dealing with domestic violence, this organization collects that data. And you can go out there and you can go to their website and you can look at people and it tells you, you know, it's all the different stories across the United States. 2,300. 2,300. So as a part of the National Gun Violence Week, a domestic violence survivor who was also a Navy veteran, and she is a volunteer with Moms Demand Action. She shared her story as a survivor of gun violence, a domestic violence that had a gun poured on her, to raise awareness. So we know, we read this last year. It was just an increase, and it was disturbing because people that was dying at the hand of these guns, you know, period. It's just sad, period, all the way around. So it says, in survivor, she shared her story. She said because for 9 years, she felt like she did not have a voice. And a lot of women feel that way. A lot of women are so afraid to use their voice because they're afraid of the repercussions. How many of you know that when you share something, power in that? That is power in that, because if you share, it allows the other person who may be going through it as well, and you share your experience, it gives them the courage to speak out as well, to say, well, you know what, if she went through that and she got the muster, she mustered up the courage to tell and share, then I can do it too. And so we know the prime tactic of abuse is to make the victim feel isolated and alone. It's all about control, to pull you away from your family, to make you feel like there is nobody out there for you, don't nobody got your back, you out there all by yourself. I just dealt with this scenario talking to somebody just yesterday. Sure, you're that open door. Because when they get the courage to walk through that door and to share and tell, you want to be there. Make sure you always be that open door. And so when an abused person speaks up, it empowers others. It empowers other people to do the same. And it empowers other people to feel like, hey, you know what? I'm not by myself. I'm not going through this by myself. I'm not alone. Here's somebody else that's going through it. They probably can understand what I'm going through as well. And so it empowers and it encourages them to know that they can have a voice as well. And so gun violence, when it's related to any violence, but we're talking about gun violence with domestic violence, has emotional, medical, financial, and legal consequences for individuals and communities. This don't just affect the two people that's involved or the two people and the kids. This affects the community. This affects families and friends and people that know them and work with them and went to school with them. This affects everybody. This is a community issue. This is a community thing that we have to rally around, and we can no longer say, well, that's not my problem. No, it is, because it affects all of us. And so I wasn't going to stay on here long. I just wanted to list a few resources to anyone who are in their family or their friends that they feel that may be struggling to know that there are resources, trauma and gun violence. There's organizations that provide basic information about the signs and symptoms of emotional and physical trauma and ways to cope with the consequences of trauma and to avoid re-traumatization. Don't you know if we don't handle folks right, you can re-traumatize people? I talked about that even the church. You know about church hurt. We already talked about that. But when somebody shares something with you and they've been hurt, and the way you respond to them, you can damage them even more or even worse than the act itself. That's why we have to be careful how we handle people. You don't know what people are going through. Everybody got something they're going through. We have to be empathetic. We have to be more empathetic with people. Put yourself in other folks' shoes. How would you feel if somebody did that to you? We have to be empathetic. There's another place, coping with traumatic grief. There's a difference. There's resources aimed at helping survivors understand how grief after a trauma is different than grief that is anticipated. Somebody you know that is going to pass away, maybe an elderly, person, somebody that's a grandparent or somebody that's, been living a long, prosperous life, and maybe their body's just breaking down, and you're anticipating that because you see the sign. That's a different kind of grief than you come home and somebody tell you such and such is gone, like that, and you had just nothing. Life snuffed out. That's a different type of grief. There's different types. That's a trauma grief, a traumatic grief. Grief after a trauma is different than grief that is anticipated. And so there's organizations that help you to cope with complicated grief. Kids, and they're dealing with somebody that just had a prosperous life ahead of them, and then you get that phone call, and all of a sudden, they gone. That's a total different type of grief than somebody that you watch go through. Maybe they went through a terminal cancer for years and years and years, and you saw the dwindling of the life, and you saw the quality of life diminish, and so you kind of prepared yourself. Now, when folks still close their eyes, it still hurts, because when I saw my father and my mom die, and I knew the situation they was going through, it still hit me with a ton of bricks when they closed their eyes. It still did. Still did the same way. But that grief was anticipated because their life, I saw what was going on. It's still grief, but it's a different type. So we need to make sure. Acute stress and post-traumatic stress disorder, which is PTSD. In the aftermath of a shooting, some survivors, some people that dealt with aftermath of shooting, they experienced acute stress disorder, or post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD. There are resources about these disorders, including tips of recognizing the signs and symptoms and effective coping strategies. Because I'm going to tell you, fool around and walk up on somebody that's dealing with PTSD, you might get knocked in your head just by reflexes. It's not that they meant to do it or whatever, but if they're going through that, they can't have no sudden changes. You don't pop up on them. Don't be trying to, jump and scare them. Any of those things, it can be triggered. So you have to understand coping strategies, because living with somebody that's dealing with PTSD, you got to understand how to deal with that. You got to understand how to cope with that, because they're dealing with it, but if you're living with somebody that's dealing with it, then, that's something you got to handle as well. You got to understand what you can and should and shouldn't do. Children's response to trauma. Kids respond to trauma different than adults. They can't process it because their minds can't conceive. And, we almost can't process half the stuff that's going on, and we adults. Can you imagine a child? Children's responses to trauma. There's organizations that provide information for parents and adults about how to support children and teens who have experienced a shooting or upset by images of gun violence, because it affects them. It may affect them in their schooling. They may be an A student, and all of a sudden they just sort of lashing out at the teachers and the kids, and their grades are failing, and they're just not interested in education, and they're just going off into the beaten path and getting caught up in stuff, things that they normally wouldn't regularly. They could be dealing with some type of trauma, and there's organizations out there that help us navigating navigating the criminal justice system. Many survivors, people who have survived some type of gun violence, or their family members who have to deal with the aftermath of a gun violence or whatever, and they have never experienced the criminal justice system as far as, the ins and outs, and learn quickly that the legal case, they have to understand processing is complicated. When they're trying to process a case, it don't be, he did it, put him in jail, whatever. Some of them may be far-fetched, it may be drawn out. But some of them, they have to do what we call due process. They have to make sure they dot their I's and cross their T's and go through the process. And so if you don't understand that frustration gets stepped in and folks, you know, started getting upset and aggravated and anger at people that they shouldn't probably be angry at, or if they knew more, they probably wouldn't be angrier at. So there's agencies out there to help you understand how to interact with one another and help survivors navigate through the justice system so they will be prepared for what lies ahead. Because it ain't so, something happens, they don't mean they go, you know, it's going to be the case closed next month. Say, we all right, we cool, we got it, you know. But sometimes we're not okay. We're not okay. And we may think we're okay, and we may have, you know, whatever, all of a sudden you started eating, or you started, you know, sleeping late, or you started whatever, some type of habit or something that changes that you normally used to didn't do, but you're now finding yourself doing. Sometimes when we don't take care of ourselves, we don't understand that we may be dealing with trauma, and we just haven't identified or identified with it. And so we may be dealing with those type of trauma. So there's organizations out there that provides information about the importance of self-care for gun survivors. Why? Because gun violence survivors. Because we go play that image. You know, sometimes we think, I should have did that. I wish I had done that. Then, you know, we have doubt. We self-doubt. We all these things that we go through in our mind. And so we have to understand how to take care of self. And there's organizations out there that guide you on how to develop a self-care plan. You got to have a plan. So sometimes that stuff you think is okay, and it may pop up on you 3 or 4 weeks or 3 or 4 months, and you'll be like, wait a minute, what's going on? Why all of a sudden, you know, I'm jittery? Why all of a sudden I'm having these shakes? Why, whatever it is that your body is doing or your mind is thinking or your emotions, you know, maybe you're starting to have all these crying spells, you know, after 3 months. You may not have even so associated that behavior back to a trauma just due to gun violence. We may not. And so there's people, there's plans we have to have. People can help you put a plan in place to take care of yourself, because we have to take care of ourselves. We have to, because it's only one of us, and, you know, we want to take care of everybody. We can't. We have to take, because if you don't take care of yourself, you're not good for nobody else. You got to take care of yourself. We have to take care of ourselves, our minds, our bodies, our spirits, our souls, our intellect. We have to just take care of ourselves. And when we need help, it's okay. Because you need help does not mean you're weak. Asking for help is not a sign of weakness. Everybody needs help. Asking for help is not a sign of weakness. The trauma of gun violence doesn't end when the shooting stops. It doesn't end when the shooting stops. In fact, it's the beginning, probably. Right after the shooting stop is the trauma, a lasting impact on those who survived it, those who was around it, those who witnessed it. It has a lasting impact. People don't forget stuff like that. And it stays with folks a long time. Again, I am talking to you about these organizations that's out there. Again, I am referring you to them. If anything that I've said that you need more information on, you can reach out to me at our website at info.jodicer.org or our web email at info@jodicer.org, or you can call me at 1-800-292-2145, or you can put something in the chat. I'm trying to click on this doing. I can't see everybody, so I'm trying to figure out what's going on. So anyway, that's what I want to talk about tonight. You know, these are local. There are local resources in every state, in every city. Everything I've just talked about, there are a majority of local resources available to you where you can connect to the services and the programs that's close to you or close to home. In the United States, you can dial 211. That is a formal information and referral system that gathers and organizes and maintains the information that I've just talked about in most states. In most states, 211, that you can get that information in most states. Now, I will share this. If you or someone you know is in need of help, you can call the 24/7 National Domestic Violence Hotline at 1-800-799-7233 or the National Sexual Assault Hotline at 1-800-656-4673. You can also find services in your area at your local coalition. Like we have the Missouri Coalition Against Domestic and Sexual Violence, the Illinois Coalition Against Domestic and Sexual Violence. Whatever state you live in, that is the coalition for that state. Every state has a coalition. So you can contact them, or you can also call Jonathan, 1-800-292-2145. Call Jonathan. Now, I am going to leave you with this. I love this scripture. It applies to everybody. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord." He's talking to Jeremiah about the thoughts about us, of peace. But thoughts of peace and not of evil. God is thinking good thoughts of you. God is not thinking evil thoughts of us. He's thinking good thoughts, and it says to give us an expected end. God wants to give us the end that we expect. You expect peace. You expect love. You expect joy. You expect happiness. That is what God wants to give you if that's what you're expecting. Now, remember, Jonathan is a community organization, and you are the community. Therefore, you are Jonathan. It's Jonathan 24/7, 365, all day, every day. With that being said, I want you to be safe. I want you to be well. I want you to be whole. And before I say goodnight, make sure you listen to my brand new intro outro from Jacob Beard Media.